Man, appreciate that special. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 this evening. Mark chapter 6. Thankful tonight for Jesus and those nail-scarred hands. Good to be in God's house. I'm glad that you're here. I want to welcome all of our guests. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us, and thankful for the rain. At least some of you are. Others were hoping that you wouldn't have to mow as much, but then it rained again, Brother Freddie, and I guess we'll just have to keep mowing twice a week. That'll just be the way it is, but we are thankful for the rain, and hopefully it'll be a nice, cool evening tonight, but we want to take advantage of some time we have together and get to the Word of God. This evening we're going to learn about the martyrdom of John the Baptist, the execution of John Baptist. If you would please stand with me to honor the Word of God, Mark chapter 6, and we'll start reading at verse 14. Mark 6 and verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or one of the prophets. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, as we learn about John, how he gave all for you and stood for the truth no matter what. Lord, as we learn about the fame of Jesus, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to live in a way that would honor and glorify you. That you would just convict our hearts tonight. And if there's one here who's never trusted in Jesus, that they will tonight. That all of us would surrender our lives to you every day. That we would die to self and live wholly unto you. Please bless now and help us to grow through your word, through your spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. If you're taking notes, I want to give you a couple other passages you can jot down there in your notes. This account is in Mark 6. It's also found in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. And also in Luke chapter 9, just a couple of verses there, verses 7, 8, and 9. So Mark 6, Matthew 14, and Luke 9 all hold an account of what we're studying tonight. And in Matthew's account, Matthew 14, verses 1 and 2, we learn about the fame of Jesus. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." And in Luke 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him," that is Jesus, "and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead." And we see that Herod had imprisoned and executed John the Baptist, and we're going to learn about what happened. We're going to kind of look back here in a second, but we're at this point when Herod hears about the fame of Jesus Christ. He hears about one who is going and performing great and mighty signs and wonders in the land, one who is raising even the dead to life again. And Herod is terrified because he thinks it's John the Baptist that he beheaded, that he's come back again. And so he is fearful, and it's all because of the fame of Jesus Christ, because his name was spread abroad. And I want to tell you tonight that this is not really the point of the sermon, but what a great thing that the fame of Jesus was spread abroad. Amen. That the name of Jesus was spread abroad. And I want to tell you that ought to be the goal of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, to spread the name of Jesus throughout the land. And I want to tell you this, the people's reaction will be all kinds of things and varied, and there might even be some crazy ideas like this. Herod said, "Well, that's John the Baptist. He's come back again." And so we don't know what people's reaction is, but what a great thing to have the name of Jesus spread abroad, to have his fame go throughout the land. And what a great testimony. And may I just say that we need to be careful as we go and try to spread the name of Jesus, that we share the gospel in a very clear and a very concise way, because there are a lot of people confused about who Jesus is. There are a lot of people that have no idea what Jesus really did. And a lot of people are believing in a Jesus that they've heard about, a Jesus that they've seen in a movie, a Jesus that they've conjured up in their own imagination. And what we need to do is preach the Jesus of the Word of God. That's what people need. So we see the fame of Jesus. Let's look on here in Mark 6 and down at verse 16, and we'll notice the fear of Herod. We see the fame of Jesus, but the fear of Herod. In verse 16, the Bible says, "But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison." So now, this is after the fact. This has happened sometime in the past, but now we're going to look back and see what had happened. Herod had bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when he was, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper for his lords and captains and the chief of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and all them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." I want you to stop right there, and I want you to notice the fear of Herod. You see, Herod had taken John and put him in prison, number one, because he was afraid of Herodias. It doesn't say necessarily that he was afraid, but I believe it's exactly what the problem was. He took his brother's wife and married her, which was against the law of God. You don't take your brother's wife and marry. You don't do that. It's against the law of God. And John was a man of God who wasn't afraid of the king or anybody else. And so when John had occasion to preach in front of Herod, he wasn't afraid to tell him, "You shouldn't do that. That's against the law. You've sinned against God." Well, obviously, that upset Herodias, and she was upset. And because Herod was afraid of the woman, he imprisoned John. But that doesn't satisfy Herodias. She wanted John's head on a platter. But Herod wasn't just afraid of her, he was also afraid of John. In verse 20 it says, Herod feared John. He knew that John was a just and holy man. And so he was afraid of Herodias, he listened to her, but then he was afraid of John, so he couldn't do anything to John because he was afraid of him. Because he knew. Herod knew the word of God. He knew he had sinned against God. And he knew John was a man of God, so he was afraid to do anything to him. He wasn't only afraid of Herodias. He wasn't only afraid of John. He was afraid of the multitude. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 5, when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Herod was afraid of Herodias. He was afraid of John. And he was afraid of the people. Listen, everybody knew that John was a man of God. The Pharisees and all that they spoke out about against Jesus, when John was around, they didn't dare speak out about him because everybody knew he was a prophet from God. They wouldn't dare speak out against him. And so Herod was afraid of Herodias. He was afraid of John himself. And he was afraid of the multitude. And of all the people that Herod was afraid of, he wasn't afraid of the one he should have been afraid of. Don't fear man. Man can take your life. But fear God. Because God can not only take your life, he can cast your soul into hell. Listen, we should fear God. God is almighty. All-powerful, holy creator. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I tremble sometimes when I think, I shudder sometimes when I think about things that I've heard people say about God. It terrifies me to listen to people sometimes when they are angry against God. I heard a question and answer session at a conference a while back, and someone in the audience, they had a Q&A session for the pastors that were on the stage, and somebody asked the question. Some tragedy had happened in their life, and
They said, what should I do? I don't know what to do
about my anger against God. I'm angry with God. And I was so thankful for a man to stand up and say this. The pastor said this. What should you do about your anger against God? You should repent. That's what you should do. Repent. Who do we think we are to be angry against God? What does dirt have to say against the God who created it? Friends, we need to understand tonight that that's all we are is dust. And that we're enough for God forming us and making something of us out of the dirt. That's all we would ever be. But God made us out of the dirt, and he breathed into man, into the nostrils of man, and gave him the breath of life, and we became a living soul. Were it not for God, we would still be dirt. Were it not for Jesus Christ holding us together, we would be nothing. Who are we to cry out against God? We should tremble before God. We should tremble because of our sin. We should tremble because we are a wicked and a sinful and a wretched people. We are nothing without God. We could never hope to be anything without God. And who are we to be angry with God? Listen, Herod was afraid of everybody. He was afraid of a woman. He was afraid of John. He was afraid of all the people. And if he would have listened to John's message, he would have never been afraid of John. He would have been afraid of the God that John was preaching about. If he would have listened to the preaching of John, he would have never been afraid of John. He would have been afraid of Jesus, who John proclaimed. Listen, dear friend, I know that God is a loving God, and I know that God is a merciful God, and I know that God has made us friends through Jesus Christ, but you got to understand that that's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't forget who we are without Jesus. Don't forget who God is, even through Jesus. Jesus had fame and Herod had fear. But Herod's fear was born in the fact that Herod was a fornicator. He took his brother's wife, which is a sin against God. And then he brought the daughter of Herodias in, and she came in and danced and it pleased Herod. Verse 22, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. Some of you might think I'm reading into the text a little bit too much, but I want to tell you that what Herod said was born out of the lust of his flesh and of his mind. You might say, well, you don't know what kind of dance she did, and you don't know what kind of clothes she was or wasn't wearing, and you don't know. You might think I'm reading into it too much, friends, but I think it's pretty obvious the kind of dance Herodias' daughter was doing. Now, friends, we've got a lot of sexual perversion in our country today, and it's getting worse and worse. People are being called heroes today because of their sexual perversion. We're upside down and backwards in the United States, and the lunacy never seems to have an end. But I want you to know that it's nothing new under the sun. It's not a new thing. As crazy and as wacko as people are coming up with the stuff that they think and they think that they are and they want to do, it's nothing new. They haven't invented anything new. And Herod was a fornicator. That's why he was afraid of everybody except for the one he should have been afraid of. You see, something amazing happens, friends, when you repent of your sin and you get your heart right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that fear goes away because the sin is taken away. And when the sin is taken away, then you have peace with God. The The man in the audience wanted to know what he ought to do about his anger against God. Well, he needed to repent. You have no place to make accusation against God. Who do we think we are? Herod, when John preached against his sin, should have repented. And he never would have ended up where he did. We see Herod's fear, but I want you to notice also his foolishness. Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Verse 23, and remember there were other people with him. Other rulers and other leaders and other prominent people, important men of the city were there with him. And he said in front of them all, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, he swear, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. What an idiot. You think men today give in to their lusts and make stupid promises even today? You bet they do. I'll give you whatever you want to the half of my kingdom. I'm amazed with Herodias' daughter. I think that most people in her position would have said, I'll take half the kingdom. Right? Since you offered, I'll take half. You know what? I don't want to be greedy. 49%. But she went home. In verse 24, she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. John was a man of God. He was a holy man. He was a just man. That means he was upright, righteous, right before God. And he lived a pure, separated life. He went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went around proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, saying that the one who comes behind me is preferred before me. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. Everything that he did, the people knew that he was a man of God. And his reward for those who were confronted by him about their sin, some of them repented and others hated him. Mama, Herod said he'd give me anything up to the half of his kingdom. What should I ask for? Gold? Land? Houses? Livestock? What should I ask for, Mommy? He said I could have anything up to the half of the kingdom. Gold and silver and jewels, what should I ask? The head of John the Baptist. Some serious hatred, isn't it? I've seen a lot of people in my life leave church because they were offended by the preacher. I've seen a lot of people in church quit and I've gone to them and said, why did you quit church? Why don't you come anymore? Well, I felt like the preacher, when I wasn't the pastor, I felt like the preacher was preaching right at me. Something somebody said offended me. Let me help you out. My mama taught me this when I was a boy, and it would do most of you well to hear it tonight. The truth hurts. Truth hurts. You're offended because you won't repent. You're offended because you love your sin more than you love Jesus. You're offended because in your own mind you're all right with God, and your own conscience and the Holy Spirit of God bears witness against you that you're not right with God. You're offended. because of your impenitent heart, because you're stiff-necked and hard-hearted before God. That's why you're offended. That's why she was offended. That's why Herod was afraid. And that's why she hated him so much. She wanted to see his head taken from his body. Friends, that is some sick, sick hatred. Verse 26 says, and the king was exceeding sorry. I'll give you anything. Yeah, he was sorry because he was an idiot to make the proclamation in the first place. He was sorry because he swore out of the lust of his flesh. He was sorry. This is not repentance, friends. This is earthly sorrow. You need to know this. The Bible distinguishes between godly sorrow and earthly sorrow. And godly sorrow brings repentance unto salvation. Earthly sorrow brings death. He was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Oh, he was exceeding sorry, but he didn't change anything. Do you see it? I'm so very, very sorry, John. I really, really, really don't want to take your head, but I swore that I would, and other people heard me, so I don't have any choice. I'm going to tell you right now, if it had just been Herod and Herodias' daughter, he'd have probably changed his mind. But he couldn't lie. He couldn't go back on his word in front of his buddies. And he would rather take the head off of a godly, holy, just man than repent and do what was right. He was so sorry that he wouldn't reject her request. He was so sorry that immediately, verse 27, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. I want to warn you tonight. I want to warn you about that worldly, earthly sorrow. You know what I think I've seen many times in my life? Because I've seen people with tears make professions and then disappear. I'm terribly afraid that too many people have a worldly, earthly sorrow and not a godly sorrow. That their repentance isn't genuine repentance. That it's just a fleshly, emotional response, and they end up in death because they're trusting in some emotional experience and they never genuinely repented and trusted Christ. Well, how can you say that, Brother Isaac? I mean, if somebody cries and they say they prayed a prayer, how can you say that? Well, my Bible says that our lives are evidenced by the changes that God makes in our lives. That's how I could say that. I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. But the Bible says you ought to examine yourself. And Herod was so sorry. He was exceeding sorry, the Bible says. And there's no doubt that's true. He was very, very, very sorry. It was just a fleshly, earthly, worldly sorrow. And it resulted in no change. He was sorry, but he wouldn't reject her. He was sorry that he immediately sent an executioner. He didn't even wait. There was no change. And what a sad day. When because a man of God stood up and spoke out against sin, his head was brought in a charger, in a basket, to the very one he preached and spoke out against. I want to tell you something, dear friend. None of this happened without God allowing it to happen. If God didn't allow it, Herod couldn't touch John. If God didn't allow it, Herodias couldn't say a word against John. But God allowed those things to come on his man, and I believe in part so that the judgment would be even greater on those that hated him. In the day of judgment, let me tell you something. It's going to be an awful day for Herodias. You imagine how elated she was when they brought the basket and John's head was inside, how happy she was, how she must have gloated. How she had the last word, how she had the final say. I got news for you. None of us are going to have the final word. Jesus is going to have the final word. Verse 29 says, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 14, it says they buried his body and went and told Jesus. It was a sad day for God's people when John the Baptist had his head taken. But what a testimony to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end. I can promise you one thing. John knew exactly why his head was taken. He knew exactly why he was in prison. He knew exactly why the executioner came that day. And I can promise you this, dear friend, it's not written in Scripture, but I can promise you that he didn't cry out for mercy. He didn't say, tell Herodias, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. He stood firm on the truth of the Word of God. You know what? That's exactly what we need to do today. Unapologetically stand on the truth of the Word of God. No matter what. His word's worth standing for. His word is worth taking some punishment for. And his word is even worth dying for. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. I'm pretty sure today that if you go and preach the gospel to somebody here in Muldrow, you're probably not going to get arrested. If you do get arrested because you were preaching the gospel and maybe you wouldn't back down or whatever and someone found it offensive, maybe you preached the gospel to a Muslim and they cried out that you were discriminating against them or some other such thing, I'm pretty confident that even if you ended up in jail for a night or so, that you're not going to get sent down to the county, to Town Square in Salisaw and get your head chopped off. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But even if that was a possibility, we should never back down from the truth. The truth of the gospel is not always going to be accepted by everyone, but that doesn't change the message. And the heart's desire behind it all is that some would come to Christ. Many began to follow Jesus because of John's testimony. And we can have that kind of impact if we'll be faithful to the Lord. Let's stand together this evening. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, and I want to ask you today, have we been bold in our witness for Jesus Christ? Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We get around certain people groups in our society today and we kind of get a little scared, we get a little nervous. I mean, I can't preach the gospel to these people. They don't believe like we do. That's exactly why we need to preach the gospel to them. Do we have a bold witness for Jesus Christ, no matter who it is? That's what we need today. We need to be like John the Baptist. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart about anything tonight, would you come?
520.
Number 520.